One of the not so favorite things in my life that I don't jump benches about is flying on airplanes. Now, I do it, but if I can drive and it's not too far, I just assume drive. Because, I mean, you got to get there. They want you there like an hour and a half before you leave. Well, that time I could be driving. And then when you get there, you got to go through all of this stuff. I mean, they make you go spread eagle. So I actually paid the extra money so I can go to the front of the line so I don't have to take off my jacket. And I'm a germaphobe. I don't like taking off my belt. And I don't like taking off my shoes and then walking where other people at. I don't like doing it. So I paid the extra money. Now, every once in a while, you want Neil Jackson to have a really bad attitude. I'm going through with the pre-check, the TSA pre-check, and so I don't have to take off my jacket. I put all my stuff on there, my carry-on, because I don't trust them to they're going to lose my luggage, so I put it on there. It goes through, and then they utter those awful words. Mr. Jackson, can you step over here to the right? We need to. And then they're going to frisk you. And I'm like, come on. Do I look like a terrorist or something? And then it has happened a couple times. They said, can you open up your bag? And I'm like, no, I can't open up my bag. Yeah, I agree with him. He's obviously flown on that airline as well. When we come to Psalm 24, Psalm 24 was written really to commemorate the Ark of God in Jerusalem. For 7 months, the Philistine had kept it under lock and key. They had stolen the most precious thing that the children of Israel had. It's now finally time to bring it home. David's already tried to bring it home the wrong way. Now they're going to bring it home the right way. And Psalm 24 is the anthem that they sing along the way as they're bringing back the Ark of the Covenant to the place it ought to be. This morning, three truths to improve our praise and include our worship. And the sermon I've entitled, Praise and Worship. And praise and worship is for every believer, despite your age. So this morning, three truths. The first one is this. Notice the object of our worship. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So God is the rightful owner of everything that you can see and everything that you cannot see. Now notice, it does not say the United States is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It says the earth and the fullness. It refers to creation. So everything that God created belongs to Him. Notice what it says. The world and they that dwell therein. It refers to the earth's contents. So God owns the earth and everything in it. That means you. That means His stuff. God owns and He oversees His creation and all of its contents. Look at verse 2. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the earth, upon the floods. There's a big difference between making something and creating something. God did not make the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. When something is made, it's not the original product. Several of these good church members this week have made me a cake or two or a pie. I mean, the reason I'm not buttoning my jacket, there's a reason for that this morning. And these ladies that cook for me, but they didn't create. They made. Now, some of them like to brag, oh, made it from scratch. No box. Now, I'm weird. I like them out of the box. I like them scratch. As long as they got sugar in them, I like them. But they didn't create them because they had flour and they had eggs and they had. God created ex nihilo out of nothing. God created everything out of nothing. Now, if you were to take off your jacket or you were to take off your blouse and you look in the back of it, it's going to say, made in China, because you're cheap, or Vietnam, or maybe it says, made in USA. All of God's creation says, created, not made, by Almighty God. Amen. That's who we serve. That's who loves us. That's who's there to be our ever-present help in time of trouble. Our worship, now don't miss this, is based not on how we're feeling. Our worship, our praise is not based upon what we're facing. So when we have this big mountain, when we have this big obstacle, we say, well, I can't praise today. Look what I'm facing. No. Our worship is not based upon what we're facing. Our worship is based on who our God is. And there is nothing greater. There is nothing more wonderful than our God. And we can worship Him at all times. True worship is not centered on the needs of man. True worship is based upon the nature of Almighty God. So no matter what you're facing, you can say, oh, but my God is bigger. My God is greater. My God is stronger. There's nothing my God cannot do. And when you focus on the nature of God, instead of the needs of man, the needs of man diminish in size. And your God, whom you are to depend upon, He grows. The focus of worship is not the singer. Now, I like these singers. The focus of the worship is not the preacher. And I kind of like the preacher. The focus of worship is not the denomination. The focus of worship is this: the person of Almighty God. And Jesus, He never fails. He never fails. He never fails. Number one, don't miss it today, the object of our worship. Number two, notice the obstacles of our worship. Look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? So God does not accept the worship of anyone. He doesn't accept the worship of the infidel. He doesn't accept the worship of the heathen. The sinner, they cannot worship God because they don't know God. You say, well, who does God allow worship from? Look at verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands is talking about our outward conduct. It's talking about being innocent. A life free from the stench and stain of sin. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of purity. It's a life of cleanness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Do you see that? Without which no man shall see the Lord. So if you want to see the Lord, it requires you to have outward conduct that is pleasing to Him, that is pure to Him. Heaven is a holy place. Jesus is a holy being. The angels are holy creatures. Holiness is written on everything associated with God Almighty. And if you think you're going to strut into God's presence with your unclean stuff, you got to clean up. Now, let's imagine with me, on a hot, sunny, steaming day, I know you got to imagine a long ways, and we come in, we want some cool, clear water. Well, it depends on what kind of cup it's in and what's in the bottom of the cup. Now, if I'm sweating, and I've been working cows, and I'm just dripping off of me, and my mouth is dry. And I walk in, water, water, water. And Tracy hands me a cup like that. Never mind, I'm not thirsty. I'll wait. I'll just get the sweat off my, because I care about purity. And so does God Almighty. when you walk in with unconfessed sin in your life, with bitterness in your life that you were holding on, you say, oh, he's great, he's wonderful, what he's done, I just want to praise him for what he's done. God says, no, you need to clean up your life. It's impurity of the heart that separates us from God. Isaiah 59, they're going to put it on the screen. Behold the Lord's hand. It's not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Those are two. But your iniquities have separated you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. So he's talking about clean hands. That's our outward conduct. Just do a remembrance check. How has your conduct been the last 7 days? Last 14 days? Any words you shouldn't have uttered? Any actions you shouldn't have done? He not only says clean hands, he says a pure heart. It's being genuine. It's being authentic. It's being original. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We can sing with a dirty heart. We can give with a dirty heart. We can preach with a dirty heart. We can testify with a dirty heart. You cannot worship with a dirty heart. Imagine, I thank God for technology. We have these screens, have the screens behind us. Imagine all this auditorium. If we were to put your thoughts on the screen for everybody to see this morning, you know what all of us would do? We would bow our head in shame. You want your worship to go to another level? You want your prayer life to go to another level? You want God to show up in your life? Here's what he requires: clean hands and a pure heart. Look at what verse, what it says. Clean hands, pure heart. Verse 4, who hath not lifted up his soul. That's talking about trusting. It's trusting in something that's empty or false. Not lifted up his soul unto vanity. That which is cheap, that which is fake. So I'm trusting God. I'm not putting my trust in anything else. And look at the last part of the verse. Nor sworn deceitfully. It's taking an oath dishonestly. If you're a follower of God and not following him, you've sworn deceitfully. Now, let me see a show of hands. How many of you have ever been to a barbecue? Come on, old-fashioned barbecue. Come on, North Carolina. I don't care what kind of barbecue, if it was southern, eastern, northern. You've been to a barbecue. I've been to a barbecue, and I've worn a white shirt to a barbecue. You know what happens when that barbecue sauce with a lot of sugar in it gets on your white shirt? It stains it. Shirt's no longer clean. God's holiness is not like a shirt, a white shirt, where when we get close to God, we stain God. God is totally 100% pure. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 says, the Lord God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So when we get close to God, it's not like we make him impure. Have you ever cooked chicken? Barbecue chicken on the grill, and that barbecue sauce falls down on the coal. I'm talking about real cooking. Falls down on the coal. It doesn't get the coal dirty because the coal is hot. It just burns it up. It consumes it. And that's the way God is. And when we come before him, we don't come in strutting our stuff like we're so great. No, we come and we confess our sins. We clean up our actions so that we can bring our praise and we can bring our worship to him. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I hold on to my iniquity, if I regard my iniquity in my heart, the Lord is not going to hear me. You want your prayer life to go through the roof and be excellent. You need to clean up your outward actions. And you need to clean up your inward actions, your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions. So at the end, we're going to have just a time of repentance. What is in your life you know the Lord is not pleased with? Don't sit there with your purity little clothes on and say, no, I'm good. Every thought on the screen, last 7 days. You good? Let's have a time of repentance at the end of the service where we just confess and say, God, I want to be close to you and I want to be clean from my sins. The obstacles of worship, the objects of worship. Let me give you one more. I'll be done. The overflow of worship. When you praise God and when it goes into worship, He rewards us for it. Look at verse 5. To the person who worships with clean hands and a pure heart. Verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. So when we worship God with clean hands and a pure heart, God will place His hand of blessing upon us. The greatest thing that can happen to us is not for us to get a raise. Not for us to get a better job. Not for to have the blessing of God on your lives. And the way it comes is having a clean heart, a pure heart, and clean hands. The blessing is an idea of gift. God gives us, and He gives us when we worship God on His terms. God bestows upon us the gift of His grace upon our lives. This weekend, the best way I know how to explain it. Last night at Senior Citizens, all these dear, dear young souls, they give me like this humongous bag filled with my two favorite kind of little Debbies in the world, zebra cakes and Swiss cake rolls. And I'm not talking about one box. I'm talking about multiple. And they're just poured out in there, and it's just, Tracy, I am a blessed man. I get in my truck this morning. I don't know which neighbor did it, but somebody came by my house and they put little Debbies in my truck. And I'm like, I am a blessed man. I get to church. I walk into my office. Somebody, you understand why I raise cows. I know what you do to a cow at the end of his life when you're ready to slaughter him. And I'm like, are these people getting ready to slaughter me or something? I walk into the office this morning. Yesterday was my birthday. I walk into the office this morning. Somebody has put goodies in my chair. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to eat every one of them myself. Hey, when you have clean hands, that's outward conduct. Pure heart, that's inward motives. God says, I'm going to fill you up. And I'm going to fill you up. And everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, there's just going to be blessing and blessing and blessing. Remember the old song, if He keeps on blessing and blessing. Hey, clean hands, pure heart, heavenly provision. There's one better than that. Look over down at verse 7. Heavenly presence. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Notice what it says. And the King of glory shall come in. Worship is when God makes His presence known to His people. When you receive God's grace, you will also experience God's glory. Ain't no worship, pardon my grammar, ain't no worship like when God shows up in the house and it's on because God is there with you. Look at verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Worship is when the King of glory shows up. Worship is when God makes His presence known to His people. You can be going through hard times. You can be going through difficult times. You can be going through trying times. Remember the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. But God was in that fire with them. When the presence of God shows up, it's on. Psalm 24, look at verse 8. David answers the skeptic. Who is this King of glory? And he answers it. the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The greatest desire in the Old Testament of the saints was to see God. Job said this, Psalm 42, verse 5, they're going to put it on the screen. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the eye, but now my eye sees thee. Purity of heart cleanses the eye so that we can see God. So I come to you. Thank God for the white snow. How about you? When God looks at you, when God looks at your life, is there sin that you need to confess? Because when you get clean hands, when you get a pure heart, God shows up. One of my favorite examples, Moses in the Old Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 27. For he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. A lot of us are going through trials. A lot of us are going through tribulations. A lot of us are going through hard times. You know how we make it? Seeing him who's invisible. You say, but I don't see anything. How's your hands? How's your conduct? How's your heart? A little over a year ago, we had a presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. Well, I was offered, in some of my relationships, I was offered tickets to go. Like some above average tickets. Not the best tickets, but some above average tickets. Well, I'm kind of weird. I like my lazy boy. So really, I just said, Tracy, I don't want to go this. And it's like, it's going to be cold out there. I said, I just want to stay home. They zoom in. I can drink hot chocolate and the lazy boy. I don't want to go. Tracy says, I want to go. I was like, well, you go and I'll stay home with the lazy boy. You just text me. Well, the closer it got, it's supposed to be like freezing. I mean, I'm not talking about 32 degrees. I'm talking about 8 degrees and it feels like it's 20 below. I said, Tracy, I ain't going, baby. You can say I don't have good grammar. I ain't going. She said, no, I really want to go. Will you do this for me? I said, I don't know if I'll do it for you or not. I said, you want me to go, baby? If I go in that cold weather, you know my nasty old hunting outfit that I zip up? I'm going to wear that. You want me to go? She said, I don't care how you dress. I want to go. I said, Tracy, we don't even get to sit down. She said, yeah, but they're good seats. I said, we're standing, baby. I said, we got to get there 2 hours early. It's going to be like 8 degrees, feeling like 20. I said, all right, I won't wear my camouflage. I won't wear my ski suit with my toboggan, with my goggles, with my mask. So I don't want anybody to see Neil Jackson's a brain donor. He's out there in this because I'm going to die because it's so cold. She said, I want to go. I'm like, I want to be a good husband, and I don't want to go. Thankfully, for once, President Trump backed me up, and he canceled it. He moved it indoors so I didn't have to go. Can you say amen with me? Some of you are feeling my pain. Greatest desire in the Bible is to see God. And you know what? They would have had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there, not even good a seat as I had, out there in the cold, freezing temperature so that they could, these aren't smart people, they could have watched it from their lazy boy, so that they could see somebody taking an oath that's like this big because they are so far away. You want God's presence in your life? You want God to show up in the midst of your chaos? He says, hey, I will. I'll give you my blessing, but clean hands are required. Pure heart is required. Let me give you one other thought out of this verse, and I'll be done. Look at verse 5, and I skipped this phrase intentionally. Look back up at verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And, if you write in your Bible, circle that word "and." and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, I know I'm probably the only hanky waver in here, but when I see that and righteousness from the God of his salvation, my mind goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, whoo, glory God, the righteousness of God in him. Here's the fact. You're never going to be clean enough. Even if you're saved, you're never going to have the pure mind like you're supposed to. So every day I come into his presence, I'm not coming in with the old Jackson righteousness. I come in and say, hey, God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost, but you redeemed me. You found me. I'm not coming in my own righteousness. I'm coming in the righteousness which you gave me, the righteousness of Christ, and I'm here to worship you. And he sees Neil Jackson not as Neil Jackson. He sees Neil Jackson as Christ, and he accepts my praise and my worship, not because I'm worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. Amen? Matthew chapter 22. It's the parable of the wedding feast, where the people don't come. So the master sends out the people, says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Well, they do. The master comes in and he sees someone that's not dressed appropriately. He says, wait a minute. I provided the clothing for you that you could have taken and you could have put on. But this guy is not dressed appropriately. Get rid of him. You say, what is it talking about? Here's what it's talking about. Imagine if you were, I don't know what's causing that. Imagine if you were at this fine, fancy banquet. And everybody's there in their fine, fancy clothes. And you come in, and you're wearing your favorite shorts. You're wearing your favorite flip-flops. Now, I have this one shirt I just love. I've had it for 15 years. My girls hate it. They think, Dad, that's the ugliest shirt we've ever seen. I say, it's comfortable. It looks pretty to me. So I'm wearing my favorite flip-flops, and I'm wearing my favorite shorts, and I'm wearing my favorite. This is what Scripture says. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Some of you, if you'll just listen to me, you think you're going to go to heaven because, well, this is my favorite. This is what I like. The only way you will ever get to heaven is where you realize, God, I'm a sinner. And all of my best clothes, they're as filthy, putrefied rags in your eyes. I need your righteousness. And if we will just confess that we're a sinner, and Jesus, I need your righteousness. I need you to take my sin. A great transformation takes place, and God takes your sin from you, and he gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Have you ever done it? My concern is for church folk. You think you're going to go to heaven because you go to church. Walking into the garage doesn't make you a car. And walking into a church does not make you a Christian. The only way you're going to go to heaven is if you have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus covers your sin with his righteousness. Have you ever done that? You say, but preacher, I've been dunked in the tank. Getting dunked in the tank won't get you to heaven. Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You say, what does that have to do with praise? When I come to worship Jesus in the morning, I read my Bible. When I come to worship Jesus, I just want to sing to him. But I come not in my own worthiness, because even on my best day, I'm a filthy sinner. In my best day, on Sunday when I'm looking pretty, I'm still not perfectly clean. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. And when I come in his name, oh, Jesus accepts my praise and his presence shows up in my life, and we have church. Amen.